My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Jcast. I'm Joel, and I'm joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday the 30th of October. This is episode 334. It's half time in the League Cup match between Preston North End and Arsenal. And I've just watched Arsenal wonder kid Ethan Nwaneri score a brilliant goal.
Okay.
Edge of the box on the turn, just pinged it straight into the top corner. So he's got on the only two starts he's made for Arsenal, he scored on both times.
Nice.
I think he's the youngest player ever to do that. I'm tremendously excited by Nwaneri. Who is the most exciting young sports prodigy that you've watched in your time as a sports fan?
Like current, like right now? Or
historically?
Well,
has there been a guy you've watched? It could be in pro wrestling as well, where you've seen them very early on,
right,
like make a couple of appearances and thought, what, he is him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hate to lean on my guy here, but my guy, Austin Matthews, he was drafted first pick by the Leafs, first overall. For his first game in the NHL, he scores four goals. Four goals. So that was pretty monumentous, to say the least. And he's, I think he's the best Leaf ever. And the numbers don't lie. And he's so young. He's in his 20s and just putting up numbers that are, you know, for a team that's been around since the early 1900s in various shapes and forms. Like, I find that amazing. I find that amazing that I live in the timeline with the greatest player ever in for the Leafs. And then the Flyers have this guy, Michkov. He's 19 and he looks really good. Like, the Flyers are going to just hitch their wagon to that kid. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like sports is weird right now because, like, baseball, as an example, while he's not like 19, mind you, but Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player, period. Like all the people that, like, you hear about in the old timey days, like Babe Ruth and fucking Lou Gehrig and all these names that just get, you know, and at the time, sure, absolutely, the numbers, you know, but this guy's fucking amazing. Like, not only, Joe, imagine being the best. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to give you an equivalent. Okay. So first, like, pitchers, they normally can't hit. Why? Because they're focused on pitching, right? So there's a definite line in the sand. Now, in the past couple of years, pitchers don't have to hit. They have a designated hitter thing now. But know that traditionally on a baseball team, the pitcher is always the worst hitter. Always the worst hitter. But they can be a dominant pitcher. You could be a dominant fielder and your bat be dominant, but if I'm going to stick it on mound, you're going to fuck things up. You're going to throw like 20 miles an hour and there's just going to be fucking home run after home run. Now, imagine a player being dominant behind the plate, hitting, like dominant, like putting up massive numbers, home runs, RBIs, all that stuff, on base percentage, and be a dominant pitcher. Like, you haven't heard anything like that since Babe Ruth. And this guy does it. Now he didn't do this year again. He's injured, blah, 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 blah. But okay, great. It would be like a goalkeeper, right? It would be like a goalkeeper being top of his game, like just clean sheets left and right, and also leads the league in scoring. You know what I mean? Like it's just crazy. And we're alive to see it. Football. I mean, we have I don't know. What am I talking about? But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I would say, can you say that you are alive for, well, yeah, I guess you could say that. Because even if you went, I was going to say, can you say that you're alive for the greatest pro wrestler on ever to live? You've been alive. And yeah, you have. Because even if you say, okay, Ric Flair, okay, well, you're alive. if you went Okada, well, you're alive. Misawa, okay, you were alive. So what's my point? My point is that what a world we live in. Thank you. Good night. Dan, hit the credits. I just walked in the door, people. Like, after I had to go to the office today, and I hate going to the office because it's all these meetings and just, and then I got to hear people talking about nonsense, and I don't care. I don't care.
Neither do the listeners. So I'm going to interrupt you. Can we talk about, what's his name? John Tavares. Did you
yes.
read about his magical amulets?
I did. Athletes aren't the brightest bulbs. they're just looking for it.
So for people who don't know, he's a spokesperson. So this is a former Toronto Maple Leafs captain.
But he still plays.
And he's a spokesperson
for
Ares Tech, which is a company that offer these necklaces that they say protect wearers from electromagnetic radiation, priced between, about $100 to $500, something like that. That shields users from signals emitted by everyday devices like phones.
And Wi-Fi. Routers. Yeah, Bluetooth. look. There were times, like, I remember being in a locker room and interviewing players, and they were wearing, like, you know, those magnets that I guess you would wear them around your wrist that supposedly helped with, I don't know what the fuck it helped with. But there's always, like, every 5 years, there's some new dumb shit that they, because they just want an edge. They just want to find the magic elixir.
So do you think he actually believes in this, or is he just doing it for the money?
I can't imagine what money he's making from it. Like, he's got to be losing money. Like, who's buying that? Like, what person in their right mind is like, oh, let me.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, as a segue, which New Japan wrestler would get sucked in by this? Oh. Like, I could see Rocky Romero being, like, all in on the magical amulets.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the locker room. Guys, you got to fucking, let me give you the scoop. let me in. I'm going to let you in on a little insider trading. Yeah, again, I don't know. It's embarrassing to even fucking think that a human being would think this, but okay. Watch it be like 10 years from now. It cures cancer. It's like, you know, on this necklace that we're shitting on this podcast. And they're going to use this podcast as like the clip on CNN. Be like, well, people debunked this. And it's us talking. That'd be funny. It's dopey. I don't know. It's embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing, but okay. Whatever you believe in, dude, knock your fucking self out. Go buy all your amulets or omulets. But I appreciate that the person reached out to you to explain the situation, because we had no fucking idea what the question was. So I'm glad they reached out. But no, I'm not getting a RF EMF Wi-Fi blocking pendant. Thank you.
Right, that was kind of all the pre-show banter I had lined up.
Well, you cut me off on the one. Really totally shut me down.
It's Halloween by the time listen to this.
Yeah,
is there any juice in that?
Well, I think everybody knows that I'm not the biggest fan of people knocking on my fucking door. How about that? Do you guys have Mischief Night out there?
No, I know of it though.
Yeah. It feels like it's winded down. Now we call it Tuesdays in the United States. yeah, I don't know. I always hate this.
Yeah, I wouldn't get bothered by any of that stuff because I live very far away from any working class people who usually the kind of scum who would pull stuff like that. So I'm protected. We're probably going to take Esther and Arthur out trick or treating. I say we. I don't want any part of it. I think Mally and her friends are going to do it with the kids. Just take them out into the town and do some trick or treating. But I don't want to do it because, I don't want to dress up. And if I don't dress up, I don't want to be sort of hanging at the back in my sweatpants and jumper.
Why not? You're a dad. That's.
Is there not an expectation that the adults dress up as well?
No. In fact, I got to be honest with you. They show up at my door and they're dressed up. I'm like, get out of here. What are you doing? Dummy. Just walk around with your kid. No, I don't think there's any expectation. Like, you don't have to, are you thinking you have to be in theme? Like, if the kids are, I don't know, Batman and Robin, you got to be the Joker or some shit?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. I've never done this before.
I would just, honestly, you got to dress for... Here's what you got to dress for. You got to dress for mobility and quick movements because, kids are running around. They might run in the street. You don't want to be bogged down with a fucking costume. You got to watch out for your kids. Nah. I say you would have no responsibility to that whatsoever. Now, whether you feel like fucking going out there and doing it, that's another story altogether. So you can lean on that to be like, to get out of it, be like, I don't have a costume and I feel weird. Can you just take this one? That would be my game. That's what I would do. I would be like, I feel bad. Knowing full well that I don't give a shit either way. And I would never wear a costume anyway. So, yeah. Hey, tomorrow is Duran Duran in Madison Square Garden though, Joel. That's going to be great. Actually, I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. I don't know.
See, I've got a new segment to move on to, but it's not really going to do much for the energy of the show.
Why? Do it.
I'm assuming you've seen the unfortunate news about El Fantasma.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, well, man, that's right. My heart goes out to the guy. I mean, he seems like he feels he has it under control as much as you can have it.
Listeners who don't know, he said he's had a bunch of scans and tests. And the doctors have found a little tumor of cancer. So, yeah, obviously wish him all the best and hope he kicks cancer's ass, as I'm sure he will.
I hope so. I mean, again, good vibes his way. That's scary for a young guy. It's scary for anybody, but it's scary for a young guy. I get it. Yeah, it sucks. Guy can't catch a fucking break, it feels like. I don't know. I can't catch a fucking break.
Well, it could be worse. He could have been tagging with Shota.
That's a good point.
Well, tag league,
so. That's a good point. You know what? you might be onto something there. In all seriousness, wish the fucking guy the best, man. Good vibes coming his way because it's scary. It's very scary. And the fact that he was willing to, they could have been like, here's the real deal, but just tell him I got a fucking bum shoulder or some shit. But he was honest and he was like, Here's what I'm dealing with, kids. So, wish me luck. So, we do. We wish him luck.
All right. Well, Super Junior Tag League, eh?
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm the cause of this wet blanket.
No, it's a weird show. We're in a weird spot because it's kind of towards the end of the tournament, and it's been good. But I said last year, and I maintain the Super Junior Tag League, it's a house show tournament. I don't think it's something that is designed to be watched in completion. Yeah. And it's been absolutely fine. Like, I've not been watching any of these shows thinking, oh, this is rubbish and boring. But I think it's the kind of tour you can just watch the Korakuen shows and you'll get the gist of it. Like, you'll be absolutely fine. You can tune out and then come back in for the finals because there's been nothing blow away outside of those two shows, basically.
Yeah.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not expecting the wrestlers to be landed on their heads for shows in the art center nowhere in the middle of prefectural gymnasiums.
Right.
So no surprise that they're delivering big on the Korakuen shows. But I would say those shows were really excellent and they really put their best foot forward in showcasing what I think is a very strong junior tag division at the moment. And we had a question about that. So Roa says, what's with the discrepancy between how the junior tag division has been presented in the past 2 years compared to the heavy tag? Seems like all the interesting stories, characters, and excellent matches have been from the juniors. What can New Japan do to improve heavy tag scene? I mean, it'd be interesting to sort of find out who, if this is like a different person booking the two tag divisions. You'd have to imagine there is, because I would say the junior tag division has been low-key one of the, dare I say, highlights of New Japan
sure.
the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, I enjoy junior over heavyweight tenfold. And it might just be the style of matches and all. It's just that you would normally get with juniors. But I know. I mean, and you're right. It's not like, you know, we haven't been privy to great stuff from them for, you know, 2 years, 3 years at least. And even when it feels like it's down and slow or sluggish, like they always find ways to bounce it back and keep it fresh. I don't know. I think to me, like available talent, mind you, I think the world of pro wrestling has a lot more talented guys that might fall under the junior umbrella than like heavyweight tags. Like if you were going to bring in a heavyweight tag to, you know, knock our socks off, I mean that would be logically available. Like don't give me, you know, WWE guy, you know, of course they're not going to come. But like I just feel like the world of pro wrestling has more exciting junior talent than it maybe does have heavyweight tag exciting talent. And I don't know if it's always been that. I don't think it's always been that. But, you know, you talk about some of the teams and legitimate tag teams that have come through. And I think, by and large, for New Japan anyway, I enjoy the juniors more than I do the heavyweights. There's like a handful in the past 10 years, heavyweight tags that I can sit here and be like, yep, thoroughly enjoy that tag team. Like Shibata and... And was it Goto? Was it? That was pretty good. Goto and Yoshihashi, I would definitely say I've enjoyed. But like, there's also been so many stinkers, you know, Gallows and Anderson and the Kingdom, right? And just, you know, plenty of shit, plenty of stuff that you're just like, oh, not for me. But I mean, you can go through from Red Dragon to all the way up to where we are now with, like, you know, Gorilla and Clark Connors and Kushida, you know, the Jet Setters. I think consistently juniors is where it's at from a tag perspective.
Well, before we sort of get into the weeds with the junior tag teams, there are just a couple of things I wanted to touch on that stood out from the tour as a whole. And the first thing is a little check-in with our boy Shitmouth Daiki Nagai, who is edging closer and closer to his first win. Went to another time limit draw with Yasuda, but he was in a very dominant spot as the bell went. But everyone's buzzing about his latest promo. Have you seen it? The one where his mouth is all bloody and he's just talking mad shit about everyone.
Yeah.
And just the kind of crazed look in his eye, just the facial emoting he was doing really reminded me of Minoru Suzuki. And it's just had everyone talking. I really enjoyed looking at the quote retweets from the Japanese fans. And one of them was like, oh, I'm very disappointed with this young man. Like the lack of respect he's showing his peers is really sickening. kayfabe, alive and well. Like, love when that sort of stuff happens. But yeah, everyone's talking about him. David Finlay with the quote retweet saying something along the lines of, oh, sure, would be terrible if someone were to corrupt this boy. Dave, he's already corrupted. This guy's a bad egg.
Yeah.
He's a rotten apple. So much so that I think Chairman Sugabayashi should just have a press conference and be like, this guy's a little cunt. We're not sending him on excursion. We're scared of what he might do to our partner promotion. So we're just going to put him straight in the War Dogs. And I think it'd be a great fit for the War Dogs. Like someone on our Discord was, I can't remember who it was, apologies, but you know how good he'd look sort of standing in the background carrying David Finley's Global Heavyweight Championship with a big shitting grin. So yeah, it's just a funny one, really. The way that he has been given this sort of this rope to be able to be a complete bell end, which I don't know if that's something special that he's been allowed to do, or just something that young lions have not had. I don't know, the initiative or the guts to do previously, but I think it's really quite remarkable what he is being allowed to say so far. And you know, he's not even. I'm just thinking, like, the other class of young lions came ahead of him, like the one with Kato and Murashima, they're ahead of him. So he's like brand new, it's like absolute lowest tier of young lions, right. And he's just out there talking mad shit.
Do you think that he's just going rogue and doing it? Or, I mean, you would think the company is kind of.
I can't imagine it. If he's gone rogue, then someone would be beating the shit out of him in the dojo. Right. Yeah.
Maybe he did. Maybe they did.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. But he's still doing it. Right. This is like the third occasion where he's been shooting his mouth off.
See, I like that, though. I like the idea. If in fact, great. He's doing it.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Like, if he's doing it and getting his ass beat every time, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, there becomes a certain point where it's like, okay, well, us beating the fuck out of him, obviously, he's not doing the trick. Let him go, right? Yeah, but in the same breath, though, Joel, I'm like, you're right. Like, how much rope? Like, it's almost unheard of how much rope it feels like they've given him. If, in fact, again, he's not just going out there and, you know, just fucking, fuck it, I'm going for it. But, again, either way, it's got people talking, right? Two, I always say I'm not looking for how well you fucking hit a Boston Crab or how well you do an arm drag or all that shit. Like, that's like, okay, you know, that's wrestling school week two, right? It's how do you connect? How do you emote? How do you find who you are? And a lot of times that happens excursion and post-excursion. But to see that in a guy who you would think traditionally, you know, not saying much, respectful, bowing, and even if they got mic time, it would be, you know, kind of special. Yeah, he's just going all fucking, he's going just whatever. I found it incredibly refreshing. And here's another thing too. There's one thing to say, okay, Joel, go out there and fucking let it all go. Let it rip. And then you go out there and it's like, you know, just, you know, you're like a deer in headlights, or it doesn't come across as authentic, or it's just, you know, mindless. I'm going to get you and I'm going to be the champion and fine, whatever. Like, this was like something different and something a little fresh and also a little bit like, whoa, what the fuck am I doing? Because that was me at first. Like, what the fuck's he doing? And then, you know, you get into it. And then when it's all said and done, you're like, okay, I want more of this. This is exactly kind of what I want, because it did feel fresh and different. So, yeah, I'm he's a hot prospect, I'm sure.
Okay, right. I've just asked someone, okay, and they said he's gone rogue.
Really?
Everyone's loving it.
Did you copy me on that? Let me say, no? Tell me off. No. Just text me who you sent that to, because I'm very curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if he's going rogue, then, I mean, you would think that when he walks, you know, he opens that locker room door, there might be some fucking looks like, okay, all right, talk to, oh, okay. Oh, that's a good, look at you. I know that person. Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, you would think that the company's kind of like, ooh, somebody's going to get their ass whipped. Well, he's still doing it. So keep it up. Keep it up, tough guy. I love it.
The other non-junior tag league thing I wanted to mention was the tag match between Shingo and Tsuji against Zack and Oiwa, mainly for the sequences towards the end between Tsuji and Oiwa. Because for years on this podcast, I've been talking about the problem that this company had with that lost generation and not having that group of young, up-and-coming Japanese heavyweights to set the future for the company. But now it's like waiting for a bus. There's a load of them will come at once. And it's hard not to feel that Tsuji and Oiwa might be the two best guys in the crop. And there was just that certain something, there's just a little spark between them in this tag match. And the crowd felt it. That made you think, oh, we're going to be seeing these two main event Tokyo Dome at some point. It felt special, didn't it?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's sooner than later, too. Yeah, it did. Not going to lie. Like my first thought was, well, there's our future, right? Or at least a future program. So I don't think anybody missed that one, right? Like I don't think anybody saw that and thought, wow, that'll just fizzle out. No, that felt legitimate. That felt like something we'll be seeing a lot of.
Right. Well, let's get into the tag league then. I'll just do this a bit differently. I want to start by asking what junior tag team championship match you would like to see at Wrestle Kingdom. And let's work backwards from there. Because normally I'm a big proponent of just 2-on-2. Let's keep it simple.
Right.
However, if I picked what I think are the two best teams in the field, it will probably be War Dogs and Catch 2-2. And I'm thinking maybe, we've seen that a lot, maybe it's time to move away from that. I'm just going to throw this out there, and you can call me an idiot if you think
I would never do that.
Talking out my ass. Do you think this could be a year where, I'm going to whisper it, it might be better to have a multi-man junior tag match at Wrestle Kingdom? Like three or maybe four teams there, three-way or a four-way.
Right. Here's the thing. When they do have those matches, they're never bad. Like, I think we all bitch and moan about, I just want to see the titles defended, you know, a singles match, but away we go. But I would say I don't remember a bad one. And I think that the talent is there where it'd be like, okay, there's enough really good teams that to answer the question, I would not have a problem with it. And while I won't sit here and encourage it, the idea of leaving a lot of these teams out in the dust and just, all right, you're in the Rambo, feels a little bit, right? Because you could say, okay, great. Yeah, let's put it this way. For me, War Dogs, absolutely in that mix. Catch 2-2, absolutely in that mix. But truth be told, I've really enjoyed Eagles and Fujita. I've enjoyed, Kevin Knight and Kushida I've liked. And you could put any of those teams in that mix. I don't know. Like.
All right, now giving you the book.
Go ahead.
Putting you on the spot now. You book the junior tag team match for Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay. To me, it's I would, because I'm talking myself into it a little bit. So I would do the three. I would do the three way at Wrestle Kingdom, and I would do Connors and Maloney. I would do Eagles and Fujita, and I would do Catch 2-2. That would be my mix.
Right, so you've excluded the champions.
What?
Kushida and Kevin Knight.
No. So it would be those three for the title. So four-way, my bad, right?
Okay.
So it would be a four-way match. Yeah. Because here's the thing, Joel. I don't want to. Okay, let's just say we do a singles match, or it's a singles match, a tag match, yeah, two teams. What would you do with the other teams that, quite honestly, should be on a Wrestle Kingdom show, right? Like, I don't know. I just, like you're not going to have a separate tag match for the teams that might be out in the cold. And I don't know. I just feel like there's so much talent there that why not do it? Like, what's it going to hurt?
Oh, my God. He's so good. Oh, man.
You score again?
Oh, we're just carving them up. Nuanera, he's too good. This is illegal. This shouldn't be allowed. He's just...
But did he score again?
Rings around these players. No, he didn't score again, but he just went on this run. I think it was him anyway. Bear in mind, I've got it on a tiny window because I've got to look at all my New Japan stuff there. This is exciting stuff. Okay. I'm going to make sure it was my guy.
Rewind.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Fuck, it was Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling, who I thought was absolutely washed. So I'm eating a massive L there, although he did fuck it up at the end. So there we go. Reverse type there, Raheem.
And here's the thing too, though.
Yeah, I take your point. Right. Usually a lot of the foreign guys who prop up the junior tag division, you wouldn't even be in Japan at this point, and the other players would be in the the Rumble. But I agree with you. I think I would like to see some of the fresher teams in there. And normally I would be an advocate of saying, all right, these are the two best teams, the hottest teams. This is the program we're going with. Sorry, all the other teams, you've been fine, but you've got to sit this one out. But I don't know. I just feel like this is the year that everyone stepped up. And I just think that would be a fun and exciting and dynamic match. Like the four teams you've mentioned, I would be okay with. I think, sort of jumping ahead, I've seen enough from Yo and Rocky, their team. I don't, what they're calling it, Roppongi.
Re-K, or yeah, like Re-Roppongi or something like that. Roppongi Re-Vice or something, yeah.
The Roppongi shit eaters they show me enough to think, yeah. All right, well, let's look at the block standings at the moment and see if we can pass out what we think is likely to happen on the final nights and possibly in the finals. So A block, we had a show today, and current standings, we've got... How do we want to do this, Damon? Do we want to talk about each team?
We can.
And then prognosticate over the finals, or prognosticate on finals and then talk about
teams? Because
to be honest, some of these teams I've got nothing to say about. Let's talk about finals first. Yeah. I think that's more fun and exciting for me. So Tiger Moth, Capitan Suicida, they're out. 0 points.
0 points.
Hiromu and Bushi, interestingly, they're also out. 2 points.
Yeah.
Which... That's a big surprise to me because I thought they were going to be in the mix going into the tail end of the tournament, particularly as on the final night, they have the match against the War Dogs. And I would have thought they'd still be alive for that.
Spoilers.
Anyway, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So they got 2 points. Then on 4 points, we got the skateboard fuckheads, Taguchi and Dragon Dire. They got 4 points. And I don't think it's they don't have a chance because one of the teams is going to end up with 8, so they're out, and they are facing Suicida and Tiger Bar. So that's a nothing match. So then at the top we've got Robbie Eagles and Fujita on 6, Clark and Driller on 6, and Shane Kanemaru on 6. So for the show, the final A block show, which is on this Friday, November the 1st. So I said one of those matches is that dead rubber with Suicida and Tiger Mask against Dragon Dan Taguchi. Then there's Bushi and Hiromu, who are already out, playing spoiler against Driller and Clark. And then we've got Fujita and Eagles against Kanemaru and Sho. Now, we don't have an order for these matches first, but I feel... that we're most likely to be getting in the semi-main, Bushi and Hiromu spoiling the War Dogs, and then Fujita Eagles against Kanemaru and Sho being your main event for all the marbles. That would make the most sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm looking at like, so yeah, A's, you know, three teams with six. And then B, there's no team with six, right? If I'm seeing this correctly. I mean, look, I'm think here's what I'm afraid of. Once again, House of Torture. Like, there's a reason they're at six, and I don't think that's an by accident. Let's put it that way.
It feels like that's there to be the penultimate hurdle for Eagles and Fujita.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't have a situation where War Dogs beat Hiromu and Bushi prior to that match, because then they would have just won the block.
Right. Right, and the rest of the show would be pointless.
But then you would be... Otherwise, if that is not the semi-main, and that is the main event, Hiromu Bushi against the War Dogs, and you put TMDK against House of Torture in a semi-main spot, that means whoever wins that would be doing the sort of peeking around the curtain and hoping for Hiromu and Bushi to spoil Clark and Driller. But that wouldn't really make sense dramatically to have as the main event. So I do think, and a lot will be given away by the card placement.
Match order, yeah.
I do think that TMDK against House of Torture will be the main event, and I think it's going to be winner goes through.
Yeah. I think,
and I don't think we're putting Sho and Kanemaru into another final, because they were in the final last year.
Right. Which would be a nice tease, right, to have that match be for all the marbles, because again, they were there. Do you think they would do that though? Do you think that they have, like, are they ready for a little Robbie Eagles Fujita action?
I think so. Again, from what I've said, assuming that the recording cutting off hasn't cut that out, this would be a great vehicle to use as a showcase for Kosei Fujita. And I think the team has been fantastic. And just the way that they have showcased Fujita, even in matches where they've lost, in particular, being that match which... I don't even think it was the main event. I think it was the semi-main event of the first Korakuen show.
The Zach stuff?
Where it was Eagles and Fujita against the War Dogs. And the War Dogs just like beat the shit out of Fujita. And he ate move after move after move and just kept kicking out and kicking out and kicking out, like getting all the babyface sympathy. And then they just put him away. Yeah. Which, again, was a really interesting choice that they put all that heat on him and all that sympathy, which I think the audience, us as fans, we sort of file that away, all that frustration, thinking, oh, I really wanted Fujita to come back and get the win. And we're storing that energy and saving that for deeper into the tournament. Like this match, for example, right, where we're going to be hoping that he manages to pull it out against
House of Torture. Team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you go on that route, that's probably the best way to go. Right. If you're really trying to say, okay, give this guy a win, give this guy not as like a sympathy win, but like as okay, you know, he overcame a challenge, and not only did he overcome a challenge, he's now, you know, going against the team of shitbags, right? And you know, and nobody roots for the shitbag, so yeah.
And also giving War Dogs
an out.
An out to say, okay, like, let's say TMDK win the tournament. Well, we beat the shit out of you during the block. So, you know, maybe they come out and attack them. And again, I'll never be the person to advocate for that sort of shenanigans. But I don't think any of us regular New Japan watchers are going to be really that resentful if War Dogs do somehow insert themselves into the picture.
I think there's just, again, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but there's so much talent that I would hate to just have it not do anything come Wrestle Kingdom season. And if the answer is making it a three-way or a four-way. And here's the thing, too. Can you guarantee me, and again, the likelihood is high, I understand. But can you guarantee me that Kushida and Kevin Knight are going to have those titles? Like, are there any defenses or, you know, is there any out of them not having the titles? I don't think – I think they do, but do you foresee any outs to have – to just get that out of the mix?
Yeah. There's a possibility that they might do something like, let's say, the Jet Setters get through to the finals, and then for the finals they say, right, we're going to put it all on the line here, the titles and the Super Junior Tag League trophy.
Mm.
They could do something like that. And it's not out of the question that the that there is another defense between Power Struggle and Wrestle Kingdom. But that would be against precedent. I mean, precedent is usually that Super Junior Tag League winners face the Junior Tag Champions at Wrestle Kingdom.
Right. Okay. I mean, again, like, there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to cram 10 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag. But in the same breath, like, would anyone complain about a three-way, four-way for the junior titles to open a show that'll be red fucking hot? So, you know, it will be a sprint of 10 minutes, that's for sure. I would have zero problem with it. And I'm rarely on the side of that. If we're going to use them, that's the best way. I'd rather see that than here comes, you know, whatever, fucking Robbie Eagles in the Rumble. like that doesn't interest me at all. Or if they decide to, you know, to do the old KOPW, you know, the last four people in the ring will now wrestle for, you know, like, that doesn't interest me at all. But the idea of them all going for junior tag, yeah, I'm in.
So are you with me in thinking that A block winners are TMDK, Eagles and Fujita?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And that's the way to do it if you were going to go that route, Joel. I don't know. I don't know why I'm hesitant on it. And not hesitant to say, you know, let's get moving on a nice, sizable, tangible, juicy push.
It is TMDK season as well.
It is
going their way.
I'll say yes.
Like the hottest faction in New Japan at the moment.
I think so. I'll say yes. I'll say go that route.
Little kids in the front row dressed up like Robbie Eagles.
I'm in. Here's the thing. They have been my favorite tag team of the tournament. So I got no problem. And I don't think anybody would. I don't know why I'm hesitant. Because I see. All right. Enough. Yes. Do it. Have them win the block. Yes.
Now, all the other New Japan podcasts are going to be doing like match by match analysis or team by team analysis. I'm looking at this A block.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how much new I can say about these teams, right? So Tiger Mask, Capitan Suicida, like for an opening act, they've been pretty good. Pretty fine, pretty fun. I like Capitan Suicida, very smooth. I've enjoyed that. Taguchi and Dragon Dyer.
I don't care.
I've got nothing to say about that team. Hiromu and Bushi, we've seen them wrestle hundreds of times. We know what they're capable of. They've been good. They've been able to crank up the intensity when they've got the tap on the shoulder. There's been some fun interactions between Hiromu and Robbie Eagles, but picking up from where they left off at Royal Quest, Clark and Driller are great. We know this. I can't really say anything new about them that isn't just throwing the same flowers at them that I've thrown before. And Sho and Kanemaru are Sho and Kanemaru. I'm sorry, listeners, but I've got no insight or analysis to offer the A block because it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could too. Well, like, what do you, what,
What do you want from us?
What do you want from us? Your blood from a fucking stone? I will say this, though. I don't give a shit. I'll tell you what. In Block A, the two teams that I truly don't give a fuck about were Hiromu and Bushi and Taguchi and Dragon Dai. I don't care. I'm sorry. I just don't. Now, one of those two teams I'm happy to not care about, and that's Hiromu and Bushi, because I feel like, and again, I could be dead wrong, but it's just another step in the direction of let's have Hiromu not be around the juniors anymore. Did you get that vibe at all of, okay, maybe this is a small step in that direction, or is this just, you know, we're just getting them out of the way and, you know, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I was kind of getting the vibes of like the guy who's already graduated, like the 30-year-old guy going to all the college parties, and they're like, what's that guy still doing here? Graduated ages ago. He just likes the parties.
Right. Yeah, maybe. So then I guess my question is this. And I'll just throw it. 2025. Is Hiromu still a junior?
What do I think will happen, or what do I think should happen? Because I think he should move. Because I think he's added so much value to the junior division, but I feel it's time to move on. And as we preview Power Struggle, well, I'll give further thoughts on that. But I just feel that the generation of like Despi, Ishimori, Hiromu should be stepping aside for the new generation of, you know, your Dokis and Watos and Akiras and Fujitas and Kevin Knights, etc.
What will happen?
He's going to be like the ghost of Banquo at the feast, just there to constantly provide the threat that we're just going to go back to Hiromu matches, which are very good. Yeah. And I feel terribly like, you know, looking the gift horse in the mouth because he's had I think, really excellent year, Hiromu. Yeah. It's important not to lose sight of that. And I think he's a draw. I don't have the numbers with me, but he feels like a draw. He feels like a big star. But in terms of like fresh, new, exciting directions for the junior tag division, I don't know how much value he's got to offer there.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you. I kind of want him away from juniors. Because for all the reasons, it's what else is he going to do? We have plenty of talent that can help steer the ship and make it fun and exciting. And I think the prospect of him moving up and having new opponents and fresh feuds and stuff like that, I would be all about it. But we'll see. We'll see. All right. Talk to me about B Block.
Yeah, B Block. There's a little more intrigue there because obviously by the time of recording, we have two shows rather than one. So it's a little bit less predictable. So by the time you're listening to this, the show from the 31st will have already happened. And on that show, we have, as I'm scrolling through the fucking awful website they've got here. It is okay. Well, let's just do standings at the moment. We've got DKC Ninja Mac 2 points, Catch 2 points, Velocities 2 points. Then we've got Jet Setters on 4, Yo and Rocky on 4, and Ishimori and Robbie X on 4.
Right.
So the show on the 31st, we got Roppongi against the Ninja Karate team.
Ninja Mac and the DKC. All
right. We've got Jet Setters against Velocities. And we've got Catch 2-2 against Robbie X and Ishimori.
Right.
And then on the final night, we've got Ninja Mac and DKC against Catch 2-2. Jet Setters against Roppongi. And Velocities against Ishimori and Robbie X. This is really difficult.
I mean, you figure your tag champions are going to be in the mix. And then who else, in that block, who else?
Okay, so if they're in the mix and they're facing Rocky and Yo, does that mean Rocky and Yo are still alive going into that match?
No. Because here's the thing. So you're going to have, let's assume Roppongi. I think Roppongi loses to Ninja Mac and DKC. Right? So that would take care of that situation, right? I think Thursday could be the night of upsets.
I think you might be being a bit quick to dismiss the Roppongi team.
You think so? Yeah. I mean,
the reason I say that is because they've been given big spots so far, and they did have a really great show. And I can't, was it against, who was it against, where they were just, he was just getting chops. Yo was getting the shit chopped out of him. Was it against Catch 2-2? Where his peck went all purple.
Yeah. But here's
the
thing.
That was crazy. That was an insane amount of punishment to take for, you know, the Super Junior Tag League. And, right, in the kayfabe, at least, Rocky, highly decorated junior tag wrestler. Yo, highly decorated junior tag wrestler. So they've both been incredibly successful historically in junior heavyweight tag teams. And I think they've been really good. Like, they've been the one team that have very much exceeded my expectations.
Okay.
So I just think there might be something there with that team.
Over Kushida and Kevin Knight, and over Ishimori and Robbie X.
Okay, let me try and work backwards here, right? Okay. Jet Setters are the champions.
Yeah.
And the champions, I don't think, are likely to be in the final. Like, they very, very rarely do that. So that would mean... What?
what would it mean?
That would mean that I think they would have to lose on that final night against the Roppongi team.
They could lose against...
Unless that Roppongi team's just playing spoiler.
I mean, if you want to go your way, Joel, you could do Roppongi wins, right, against Ninja Mac and DKC.
Uh-huh.
And you could do Kevin Knight and Kushida losing to Velocities, right?
Yeah.
And that would...
Everyone on 4 points going into the last...
Yeah.
No.
No,
no, because then if Roppongi win, they're on 6 points.
Yeah, but I'm saying Ninja Mac and DKC win.
Okay,
so that would give them they'd be at 4 points, right? Yo and Rocky would be at 4 points still, right? And then Kushida and Kevin Knight, they have the Velocities. Kushida 4 points. Kushida and Kevin 4 points. Velocities at 2. So that would move them up. I don't know. I hate this.
Did that not just put, like, okay, there's a very real possibility that we're going into the final night with all the teams on 4 points. If we follow that to its logical conclusion, is there a way that the final night can play out without leading to a load of unbreakable ties? So let's just explore that.
All right.
So all the teams are on 4 points.
Yeah.
Then we've got Velocities against Robbie X and Ishimori.
And you would think. But you would.
Yeah. So.
What's the last night? What's the last night of matches?
Velocity is against Ishimori and Robbie X.
Okay.
Jet Setters against Roppongi, and Ninja DKC against Catch 2-2.
Okay.
I don't think they would do that with all the teams going into 4 points because it was just too confusing.
I hope they don't. Is there a path for Catch 2-2 to make it to the finals? They would have to they would have to go on a run.
Yes, they'd have to beat
Ishimori and Robbie X.
Yeah, and then beat Ninja DKC. But that doesn't feel like an appropriate match to get them to win the block to beat Ninja Mac and DKC.
Okay.
I'm thinking...
Good.
That Ishimori and Robbie X might just beat them tomorrow.
It's clean cut. That's that.
Yeah. That'd be a big shock.
I mean, would it? Because I kind of you would think that you would pencil them in to be in the mix. You're not going to give it to your tag champs. Okay, great. Just traditionally. So really, it's unless somebody has this massive comeback, and I'm looking at Catch 2-2. To me, it's Ishimori and Robbie X. Because, okay, so the hardest challenge that Ishimori and Robbie X have is Catch 2-2, right? Who do they have on the final night?
Velocities.
Yeah. Unless they do the crazy upset bullshit thing. But I don't see that happening. So in Block B, you're looking at either Yo and Rocky Romero or Ishimori and Robbie X. If we're going traditionally, you don't usually give it to your tag champs. And B, you're asking for a miraculous run from Catch 2-2, and it's not something that tickles your fancy. Those are your options. What are you going to do, DKC and Ninja Mac?
No.
Right.
I just feel like if I'm looking at those matches, which one feels like an appropriate main event? And to me, it would be Jet Setters against Roppongi. Because it's not, okay, Catch 2-2 beating Ninja Mac and DKC is not a big triumphant moment.
No.
Right? That's not an appropriate match. So
correct.
I'm kind of using that to cross Catch 2-2 off my list. Then Ishimori and Robbie X beating the Velocities.
To win, right. I agree.
Nah, I don't think that's it either. And I don't think, I just can't see them putting Robbie X through to a final.
He's
been all right. He's not that good.
All right. I don't think it's a matter of that. I just think it's a matter of Bullet Clubness.
Why? Why would you use your Super Junior Tag League final to showcase Ishimori, of all people, and Robbie X?
Whoa. Listen to you casting shade on Ishimori. He's had a good year.
Look, he's had a really good year. So then why would you want to give him the rub of putting him in Super Junior Tag League final? He fucking main evented Dominion. He's had that. He doesn't need it.
So you would rather go with Rocky Romero?
Well, Rocky's probably booking this, and he's booking himself to win all the matches.
Now we're getting to the crux of the argument. Now, I'll stick with Ishimori and Robbie X.
No, I'll go with Rocky and Yo.
I'll bet you one American dollar.
I just feel the fans still love them. And I feel all their combined junior tag glory counts for something.
Okay.
Is it just me? I get really nostalgic. Now, admittedly, I say nostalgic, we're only talking about, 7 years ago. But listening to the old Roppongi Vice theme, when you hear the, we live in a world where only kings have vices. Because that makes me think of sitting down to watch Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yeah.
Like the glory years. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or, you know, this that era.
Yeah.
That particular show. It just makes me think, it reminds me of, like when I lived in China, it makes me think of eating boiled dumplings and cucumber salad and watching Wrestle Kingdom 11. I don't know. That might just be me. But I think this is
your midlife crisis. It just being played out on a being played out on a podcast, to be quite honest with you. I just can't see it. I'm sorry. I just can't see it. So,
and are Rocky and Yo not the perfect veteran tag team to make Kosei Fujita look like a star in the final?
And Taiji Ishimori isn't?
Robbie X isn't. I'm sorry.
Notice how I conveniently left that off.
Did you see how pink his face is? What the fuck has that guy been doing? Has he been skiing or something and got sunburn? Or has he been hitting the tanning salons too much? His face has turned an outrageous color. Even if that was the plan, you'd have to look at his face and be like, sorry, Robbie, I don't know what you've done there, pal, but we can't push you like that. You look like a grape.
Who's the guy that always used to get super red faced? Was it Elgin? Who is the guy who just gets so red and you'd be like, oh my God, I think he's going to blow a blood vessel.
Steve Weissmuth Jr. had his moments as well where just he would get so worked up and sweaty and pink and veiny, he'd look like an erection.
He looked like a fucking artery was going to burst. All right. Look, I think so who's winning this fucking thing?
I think it's TMDK. I think they're just going all in on TMDK this season. So if you put the gun to my head, my final being Fujita and Eagles beating Rocky and Yo.
Look, again, they've been my favorite tag team this whole tournament. I love the idea when it was signed. So I'm in. I'm in on that. Who they beat, I kind of think it's more – it doesn't matter. Okay. If it's Yo and Rocky, great. If it's Ishimori and Robbie X, great. But let's be fair. It's between those two, right? Between those two? We'll split the difference. Between those two.
Sure.
Yeah. Then we're good. There you go. There you go. All that for this. Seems anticlimactic. All right.
So in terms of these B block teams, I suppose I should offer some comment. I mean, Kushida and Kevin Knight, really good.
Yep.
They've won me over. Like, it looked like a kind of stopgap tag team that I felt at times was just weighing down Kevin Knight, but I've changed my mind on that. I think they have value as a tag team. And question here says, oh, this is from the Factory Direct Marine and RV. Do you read anything into Kevin Knight carrying both belts around most of the time? Commentary is putting him over strong as a future megastar, and they already teased a split with Kushida last year. I smell a turn in the future. Like, for me, I think if we're going the chalk route for Wrestle Kingdom and just doing 2-on-2, Jet Setters against TMDK would be really cool.
Fire.
And having that as a sort of to spotlight Kevin Knight and Kosei Fujita and have large parts of the match built around those two guys, because they feel like the future of the division. And I mean, in terms of a split, I mean, there's the history there with Kevin Knight and going through the LA Dojo and all the wrong-ins that one's turned out. So it's very tempting to fantasy book him as a future War Dog. But I just think he's too awesome and cool. Like, you just want to cheer him too much that whilst that would be very tempting, I don't think it would be the right move. I just think Kevin Knight's so cool that I just want to cheer him. Everyone wants to cheer him. Like, his moveset, how do you change his moveset to make people want to boo him? You can't.
Well, you can, but it's not going to be good, right?
You shouldn't, rather.
Yeah. And trust me, now you are you don't stand out. Like, right now, I feel like he stands out. Like, he's carved his own path, and he's made the most of every single opportunity that's been given to him, it feels like. And I don't think he feels stale, and I don't think he needs like a new coat of paint. I think him going to Bullet Club would be just like, now you're lost in the shuffle. I mean, what, aside from him getting some, maybe a cut of some merch sales, like where's the benefit to anything of him doing that? Now, if he wants to turn, okay, fine. But I don't think there's any need to have him go into Bullet Club. Now, in the same breath, okay, you turn him, like, where does he go?
I would say, like, the War Dogs are lacking a singles junior guy.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they have the tag component, but it does feel like the because let's be honest, you're Drilla Malone. He's not a fucking junior, so we can scrap that idea. Yeah, okay. But then, I don't – like, my biggest fear is – not my biggest fear. I have other bigger fears than this, trust me. But – and I'm having a senior moment. Who's the guy that was – he might still be a Bullet Club, and he – is in TNA a lot, and he helped me out here. Chris Bay?
Yeah, he suffered a horrendous injury.
Yeah. I mean, like, here's my fear, is that I'm a new Bullet Club guy, and here I am in the United States doing indie. You know, that's the last thing I want for this. Now, if... and I don't know the answer to this, to be honest with you. But like, so if you're in Bullet Club, does that mean you get a cut of the merch? Like, do you then kind of get a little something extra in your paycheck? Then, you know.
I don't know. I doubt it.
I doubt it too. Like, all right. I find it hard to believe. But
check every month now.
Right. But okay. So then I'll ask you the question. What would be the upside of that?
If they can tell a dramatic and satisfying story with it that can push Kevin Knight onto the next level, fine. But I just don't think that's what he needs.
Right.
He doesn't need that. He just needs opportunities.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's exactly right.
Other teams then, DKC and Ninja Mac. They've been fun.
Yeah,
that's all I got. I like them.
Have they?
I've been typically been the high man on DKC. I know everyone laughs at him, but they sort of straddled that line between goofiness and again, the sort of team that I think is probably more appreciated by the domestic New Japan fans than foreign fans. But they played their part. I mean, I know I'm curious to see what's next for Ninja Mac, if he's angling for a full time New Japan deal. I don't know. Yeah, they've been all right. Catchy too, are great. I don't know what else to say about them. Like, we know how awesome they are. Right. Ishimura and Robbie X. How have you feel Robbie X has done so far?
I know you're not a fan. And I can't sit here.
I'm not a fan. I just think he's just unremarkable. He's just a bald bloke. Doesn't look exciting. I don't think he's got any special charisma. And again, we're comparing him against guys like Kevin Knight and Fujita and all these other awesome dudes in this division. And
that's
it. Like, oh, no, is an angry, bald British guy with a very pink face. What?
That's going to be me in July.
I can see that any night in Wetherspoons up and down the country.
Right. You're right. In the sense of compared to all the other people. Right. Correct. But I don't think he's – here's the thing. Like, to me, he's tailor-made for Bullet Club. Like, he's a guy that kind of could use that somewhat name recognition that Bullet Club brings and instant credibility. Has he been
okay,
great?
But what value is he adding in return?
Oh, he's a middle-of-the-card – guy looking at the lights and multi-man tag kind of thing. And he can go back home and wear a Bullet Club shirt and people will be like, wow, he's in Bullet Club. That's it.
Okay, great. Well, forgive me for not doing
up new cartwheels over that now.
All right. let's talk velocities then. Right. Matthew says, I'm enjoying the velocities, but their win over Catchley 2 felt like the biggest jobber sneaks a win since Hurricane pinned the Rock. How seriously are we supposed to take these guys? Yeah, they've been okay. I've not been blown away. I've not seen enough there for me to think, yes, they've got to come back. I think they could do with a bit more coaching.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Right, exactly. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good with that. And that's B block then. Good stuff.
All right.
Let's preview.
Are you high on it? Are you giving it a thumbs up or thumbs down so far, or thumbs in the middle?
Thumbs up. I mean, it's been sort of background stuff while I've been getting on with other things. The Korakuen shows were excellent. The high-end stuff, like the good teams of this, when they're put in the big spots, they deliver.
Correct.
Like, we know this. But I don't have a huge amount to say about everything else. We could sit here and waffle on about each of these teams in depth, but I don't
feel like that's
in anyone's interest to do that. I think we're all fine.
We're all fine. Perfect.
Okay. Power struggle then. What order should we do this? Okay, top down. Osaka, Edion Arena, Monday, November the 4th. It says his special singles match. Obviously, that's not the case. It's a IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. Zack Sabre Jr. against Shingo Takagi.
Mm-hmm. New World Champion, right?
It's hard to discuss this one without also discussing Shota against Sanada, but we will separate them. I'm just going to throw this out there, right? If we take these four guys and think that the winner of each of these is going to main event the Tokyo Dome, two of those, like there is a guy from each of those pairs that has main evented the Tokyo Dome, and that's Shingo and Sanada.
Correct.
Right. So that's the one thing giving me pause, thinking, if we're looking for trusted guys who have been in that spot before on January 4th and done the business, Shingo versus Sanada is your match. Now, I don't think they are going to do that because it would have like absolutely no build and very little heat. And I just think it would be a bizarre thing to do. So I do think Zach is retaining, but I just feel like we're missing something here and that something is a credible opponent for Wrestle Kingdom. And it's not Shota. Because I don't want to talk about Shota now, but if that was the plan, Zach versus Shota for Wrestle Kingdom, this is a really fucking weird way of getting there. So I just feel that Zach wins, but something else is going to happen to provide him with a suitable challenger for Wrestle Kingdom. But again, on the match, like the great chemistry, they're 1-1 so far this year. Shingo beat Zach in the block, and then Zach got his win back in the semi-final, I want to say. So they're 1-1. I mean, that semi-final match was incredible. So I'm sure this match is going to be great. There's enough, just that little shred of doubt in my mind to add the drama that is often lacking in these post-G1 defenses. And I'm expecting Zach to win.
I give you that. I'll give you the fact that there is a shred of... Okay, he's going against a guy who's the company has trust before. I just cannot imagine the idea of them basically doubling back and saying, "Okay, all that build," and it's been the entire fucking year to have it go and say, "Okay," while Shingo was fucking around with the Never title and doing all that, we're just going to...
Yeah, I forgot. He's a Never champion.
I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like I just can't imagine that. Like, them having the fucking audacity to do that. I really do. In the same breath, so here's Zach with a win. And the match previous was, Shota and Sanada. And you figure, okay, Sonata had his chance, we'll put in air quotes, in London. So, okay, here comes Shota. And I don't think anybody is pumped. I think they would have a lot of work to do to not only A, heat him up. Okay, let me give you a scenario here. Match 6, ring introductions, Sonata, Shota, they go 25 minutes and the match was okay. One, do you trust them to be able to put on a semi-main event that will get Shota to the point where people are rubbing their hands together and licking their lips at the idea of him versus Zach at the Dome?
Mate, the Osaka crowd are going to take a big steaming shit on this guy's head.
Thank you.
If we're going with the most likely outcome here, which is they have an okay match and then Shota saying, I'm the challenger for January 4th, the crowd are going to be shitting in their hands and throwing those lumps of shit at Shota, or Shita Pumino. And that is what's going to happen. Did you see a funny quote from Shota? Because as we all know, I was hurling abuse at him at Royal Quest. And there's a quote from Shota that says, I didn't expect to get booed in the UK, but with Moxley and the others having become big heels, it's no wonder the Bryan fans were booing me. All that is nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn about Brian. Sorry if they upset you. That's all. So Shota is saying that he thinks he's getting booed because of John Moxley turning heel against Brian Danielson. And that because of his connection to Moxley, that we're booing him because of that.
Nope.
That ain't it, champ. Extremely Sorry. Funny. Like, if I was trying to write a script for, like, a deluded heel who thinks he's the babyface and is going to be really stubborn in the face of everyone telling him he's shit, that's the sort of line I'd write for him. So this might be some brilliant 4D chess, but somehow I doubt it. But yeah, now keep in mind, it was the Tokyo crowd that turned on Shota first, which is usually not the way it goes. Usually it's the Osaka crowd who are a bit more
quick to pull the trigger.
Spicier. Yeah. Now, also, while we're on this, I want to bring up an interesting thing that popped up on Twitter about comments that Chris Charlton made, which I don't think he did with any sort of malice, but he says something along the lines of, like, women and children are still cheering for Shota, but the core fans are starting to turn on him, which, like, he knows was not an accurate thing to say, because as we know, New Japan, like, it's, you know, what about
that fans? Is their core,
probably about 50-50. Yeah, those are their core fans. So, you know, phrasing issue notwithstanding, like, there is that issue with more of the male fan base turning on Shota. And the fact that it was the Tokyo crowd that did that first, not the Osaka crowd, is very, very interesting. But I do think the Osaka crowd are likely to be following suit here. So, yeah, if that happens, we have okay match, Shota comes out as the challenger, then I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited for that, just to see
the chaos of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there is a part of me that's like, that could be the worst case scenario. Like, that could be the worst thing that could happen. Like, he rolls out, like, he gets the win and everyone knows what's coming, right? And then Zach wins and everyone's eyeballs are going to be pointed at the fucking locker room door just to see if that guy strolls out, and they are going to pounce. And that's not a good look. Like that's, to me, like, this is not WWE where we're going to make noise and change the, I don't feel that with New Japan. And again, they've had instances where it might have felt that way, in the sense of, like, the fan vote for the main event, you know, oh, it's not the world title match, it's this match. Okay. So there, it has been dabbles of that. If he walks out there, okay, if the scenario occurs, Osaka shits on the match. And trust me, the two guys that are in there, I don't trust as far as I can fucking throw them to make him a legitimate threat, excitement. Again, people licking their chops to fucking see this match against Zach.
Right, and if that was the plan all along, like they knew earlier in the year that it was going to be Zach against Shota, why have they done it in this roundabout way that's make Shota look like a twat?
Right.
Because he did nothing in his G1 block. And to then emerge as the challenger in November, like 2 months before Wrestle Kingdom, after having a really, you know, in the kayfabe sense, a very mediocre year, would just be really, really bizarre. Like, if they wanted to do Zach versus Shota, there was a way of getting there where they could have Shota as the challenger actually being built up with some heat and threat and credibility. But this would be such a weird way of doing it. And so much so that if that is what they're going for, my very generous interpretation would be like they're deliberately trying to engineer a scenario where Shota gets rejected. But I don't, that's me putting probably too much generosity and faith in the book in there. But it would just be so weird, wouldn't it? Like, why would they have done it like this if he's the actual challenger?
Because not for nothing. You kind of, I mean, all right, let's just go with your scenario. What you've done is you've instantly created a heel. Maybe they fully are well aware that, okay, he isn't, the guy that we're window dressing. You know, where we know full all along that people were going to shit on this idea, so we're going to turn him heel and make him a monster heel that people shit on, right? That's the only logical solution I have, other than they're just going balls out with their plan that they had in February and said, fuck it, you know, and they're not listening to the noise around them. They're just barreling straight ahead. He's gotten wins in G1 that, you know, kind of, okay, you can connect the dots and go there. But I don't think there's a person alive that watches this product that's like, okay, he's ready and he's the guy. Could this be one gigantic diversion and somebody comes up from the fucking ashes and challenges and everyone's excited? Yes, that's absolutely on the table. But also on the table is the scenario that we laid out that, okay, we have a meh match. We didn't do any favors to get him to be a guy that is has any reason to be in the main event at the fucking Tokyo Dome. And then Zach's handcuffed. Now how would you imagine if you're fucking Zach and you're like, ah, oh, I'm fucking champion. Great. I'm Tokyo Dome, biggest show of the year. I'm holding the big boy belt. Dream come true. Oh, I got to do that. I got to what? Oh boy. How am I going to make this work? You know, that's where I think sometimes it's not him and it just isn't going to be him. I don't know, man. Here's what it is. I'm excited for this match for all the wrong reasons. I feel like I'm excited for this match for all the wrong reasons.
All right, let's see what else is on this card then. I'm going to go to the Japanese website because I
really do you think it's easier to speak to read a language that you have no idea what they're saying than the English website, Japanese. Huh? Listen, I'm all in. This is great. I love it. I have it. I have the lineup in front of me. You want me to go through?
What else we got? Tag team championship match: Shane Haston, Mikey Nichols against Henare and Great Okan. The Holy Semen Army.
I don't think anybody's upset if Great Okan and Henare win. I think they do. Team DK literally just came off their best title defense. I'm okay with it. And that'd be two big boy belts for Henare. And correct me if I'm wrong, Okan's first. We're not counting like nonsense KOPW shit.
No, he's been tag champion with
who? Jeff Cobb. Oh, Jeff Cobb. That's right. How could I forget Khan on the Cobb?
One on the Cobb, yeah.
God damn it. I stink. All right. Regardless, I'm still saying. Title change right here. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll be happy with either outcome, but yeah, I think it would be more interesting if Henare and Grato can't win. And yeah, looking forward to seeing Henare and Mikey Nichols do each other grievous bodily harm. We have a special tag match with Oleg Bolton replacing ELP to tag with Hiroshi Tanahashi against Ren Narita and King of Darkness Evil. Violet Skipping says, how would you book Ren and Sho for that matter into being orthodox / mainstream characters post House of Torture, given how caricature their characters are at present? Well, obviously wrestling is wrestling, but it feels like it'd take a lot of work to do while remaining consistent and not damaging suspension of disbelief. Short answer, they won't. So
yep. That's really the answer.
Don't trouble yourself with it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah. I feel probably... Wait, is Ren the TV champion? He is the
champion.
So, House of Torture probably win this. And we're setting up Tanahashi against Evil at the Dome.
Yep.
And I don't know, Oleg being in there, can he...
Nah, he's your pin eater.
Yeah, he's a pin eater, yeah. Then we've got the Junior Heavyweight Championship match with Doki getting his fourth defense against Master Watto. And Doki's been talking about facing Sammy Guevara. I don't know if that's an actual thing that's going to happen.
Oh, God.
Any words? Yeah. Miss me with that. But just thinking for Wrestle Kingdom, narratively, it feels like Watto against Despy is the match for Wrestle Kingdom. And that, I think, would be a really nice way to tie a ribbon on that Ishimori, Despy, Hiromu Musketeers era of the junior division and help usher in the new era of the junior division. And, you know, we've spoken at length about the storyline aspects to this and, of course, during the pandemic with Watto's debut after his excursion, and it was Doki the one who attacked him, so it would be quite fitting that Watto is the one who finally dethrones Doki. And I don't think Doki needs to go into Wrestle Kingdom as champion. I think his elevation has been very effective, and I don't think him losing the belt here would necessarily do him any harm. So my pick there is Master Watto.
I agree with you in the sense that this is feels like a Watto moment. I will disagree with, I don't know, call it, this might be a fucking wishy-washy take, but like I feel bad for guys who have titles in the middle of the year and they don't make it to Wrestle Kingdom holding the title. I kind of do feel, because my biggest fear would be, okay, so it's always now what, right? And a guy who has done really some pretty special things, I feel like, this year. To not have him go into Wrestle Kingdom as a champion, I don't know. I wish he did, and that's just more of, you know, kind of like giving him the gold star, or, you know, just giving him the extra, okay, we appreciate what you've done kind of thing. And if you wanted to lose it at the Dome, great. But it does feel like this is going to happen. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Look, again, I know I was a little bit – I was never a big fan, and I kind of slowly have gotten around to him, Master Watto. And I'm willing to keep an open mind with him as champion, because it is a little bit of that ushering of a new era. So, okay. But again, I there is a little soft spot in my heart for Doki to just walk into Wrestle Kingdom as champion, but it does feel like a Watto moment.
And we also have the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match with David Finlay defending against Taichi. Taichi, I think he said that he's going to wrestle for the honour of Goto's children. How far we've come. You remember the cartwheel death matches we were doing in late 2018 when Taichi and Goto were having their matches, and now Taichi's defending his honour. What a beautiful thing professional wrestling can be.
Sure can.
I think it would be great if Taichi won, but he's not going to win. The match is going to be great. I think I might be most excited about this match on the whole card, because just sort of stylistically, it seems like the kind of match where they can just whack each other and drop each other on their heads, and it'll be awesome. And I just think that this is going to be another lovable veteran mid-carder sacrificed at the altar of the David Finley run, which is good. And they're doing tremendous work with that. And then we'll have a challenger emerge for Finley. Probably Yota Tsuji. That just seems to be the direction. But I'm expecting a Finley win here.
I think Finley... Like, here's the thing. Tai Chi can and is more than willing, as we've seen. He's more than willing to take that abuse that David Finley likes to give. And if David Finley works that style, this could be a really good match. And trust me, it's not like they don't know that they're going on before Sonata and Shota. So maybe there is a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. Let's give them something to fucking beat. Tai Chi really hasn't had what you would call a standout year. So maybe he's also has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder when it comes to, G1 and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm in. I think this match will be great. And again, I like the placement on the show. I think that's a good thing. Because again, I think you have a couple guys that might have a little chips on their shoulder. So yeah, it'll be great. We're not seeing a title change here, though.
And I'm honestly done. I don't want to read anymore.
All right.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.